welcome to this special interview at BrandonBot.com, where today I have the great joy of talking with Father Lou Camelli. Father, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Brandon.
Father Lou is very involved with formation and mission in the Archdiocese of Chicago, but today we're going to be talking about his newest book, which is titled Catholic Teaching on Homosexuality, New Paths to Understanding. Now, this is a really kind of hot topic issue in today's modern culture, and I think that this is one of the best Catholic books in regards to it. I agree with Father Patrick Lee, who on the cover says that this is an objective and compassionate look at same-sex attraction that places the moral struggle in the framework of Catholic spirituality. And so I'd like to ask a couple questions of Father Lou about the book. And to begin, one of the main focuses in the book seems to center around the question, for somebody struggling with same-sex attraction, is that attraction a blessing or a curse? Kind of an interesting question. Yeah. What kind of conclusions did you come to?
Yeah, now, Brandon, actually, and other people have taken it in that sense, but that's not exactly the question. The question, as I raise it, is the sexuality of homosexually inclined persons a blessing or a curse? And that's a little bit different than asking if homosexuality is a blessing or a curse in itself. So what I'm attempting to do in the book is to locate a larger sense of human sexuality. And let me just say a word about that, too, because I think this is really important. Now, if you look at the teaching of John Paul II, but also what I try to do, drawing from elements of our spiritual tradition, there are certain common dynamics to all human sexuality. The marriage relationship of a man and a woman is normative and sacramental in the theology of John Paul II. It's in the catechism and so on and so forth. And in that, what I mean is that the relationship, married relationship of a man and a woman, is a template and an effective sign of the deepest meaning of human sexuality. And in terms of connecting, claiming and being claimed, and giving life. So that really, that general vision that we see so dramatically evident in the marriage relationship is something that's shared by all people. Human sexuality shares in those dynamics, but in different ways. So in the Catechism, for example, we find a statement that's very important. It says every human being should accept his or her sexual identity. So what I'm trying to do in this question of blessing or curse is to help people to understand there's a sexuality, and whether you are experiencing same-sex attractions or you are vowed religious with a vow of celibacy or of chastity, or a priest with a promise of celibacy, or you're a dedicated single person or a widowed person, no matter what your situation, whether married or not, sexuality is a blessing. How is it a blessing? It's a blessing in terms of these dynamics of connecting, belonging, and giving life. That's the short answer to a very complicated question, but an important one, and one that I deal with in more detail in the book.
Yeah, thank you for that distinction, by the way. You mentioned those three characteristics that define and kind of frame sexuality of any sort, which are claiming and being claimed, belonging and giving life. What would that look like for somebody who has same-sex attractions?
Well, yeah, let me go back. So it's connecting, claiming and being claimed or belonging, and giving life. And the way that gets configured, at least the what I offer by way of a direction, is that the connecting is lived out in terms of real, genuine friendship. That's already in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that friendship. And you know, I think our kind of contemporary or culturally conditioned understanding of friendship is sort of, well, yeah, they're friends. No. Friendship is, in a spiritual sense, a really deep, intimate experience of connection. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for a friend. Well, that's spectacular in its depth, you see. So, friendship in terms of connection. In terms of claiming and being claimed or belonging, some kind of community or association of life, which we all need. I mean, there's no way that any human being, including hermits in our tradition, can escape the need to have a supportive environment, and that is other human beings, in one way or another. And then the last thing is giving life, generating life. And I think there are many opportunities. As a celibate priest, I'm trying to generate life. I want new life and to come into this world. Obviously, not through generating, you know, children, but I want new life. And I think that is a real open, through creative contributions to this world, through the world of work and so forth. So those are, again, that's just a sample, but I think something that's really important.
I agree. Now, in the book, at one point, you mentioned that you recently spoke with a friend who said to you, quote, "We seem to be driving away a whole class of people, these gay and lesbian people. They have been baptized and raised Catholic, but almost inevitably they come to despise the church. We are the enemy, and I don't understand it." What kind of response would you give to somebody who feels like that?
Well, the response to a person, yeah, and it's interesting you mention that, because in a certain sense, this book is targeted, especially, I mean, part of the reason why I wrote it, it's part of a larger project of responding to younger Catholics. Studies, for example, this is evident in Robert Putnam's latest book, American Grace. I think that's the title.
Maybe. Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah. There are three things that kind of make young Catholics hesitant and push back from the faith. One is that they see the church as too enmeshed in political life and they don't like that. The second thing is that they have grown up and know friends who are self-identified as gay and lesbian, and they see the church as teaching as hostile. And the third thing is they've grown up with the sense of the equality of women, and they see the church as discriminatory. So this is really part of a three-part project to reframe our understanding in faith of human sexuality, and more particularly the human sexuality in the context of those people who have and may struggle with same-sex attraction. So, what do we do with that? Well, reframing does not mean that we change the teaching. No. And it doesn't mean that we just restate what's already in documents, but it means trying to take another look for deeper understanding and new expression. In that sense, it's related to the new evangelization. And I think apart from all of that, what we do is create a climate in the church that is, the title of the last chapter that I have there is a church that is loving and prophetic. Prophetic in the sense that it stays with the truth and doesn't hesitate to challenge people, all people. Sexuality is a struggle for everyone because of concupiscence, because of the fall. But to stay prophetic and to stay true to the teaching and also loving, accepting. So I think those are at least some initial directions.
Yeah, that's good. And I'd like to close with a kind of piggybacking on that last point is I know I have several friends who have come to me and say, "I'm Catholic, I fully embrace the church's teachings on this issue, but I have so many Catholic friends and non-Catholic friends who are struggling with same-sex attraction, and I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond." And so, as a pastor, what kind of advice would you give there?
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you what I take a look at Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is a gospel of discipleship, because if, at least one perspective, you look at that gospel, you can see Jesus and the disciples in relationship with each other. And one thing that is absolutely clear is they don't get it. They miss the point, they backtrack, but there's something that's going on in that whole gospel that is inspiring to me and ought to animate, I think, all of our efforts, no matter who they're with. And that is, Jesus stays with them and they stay with Jesus. They don't let each other go. It's not always clear, and it's not always a straight line story, but what happens is, over time, they know each other, they walk together, and those disciples are transformed. So fundamentally, it's not just with people who identify themselves as gay or lesbian, but it's for all of us together as a community of discipleship. We don't let each other go. We don't let each other go.
Very good. Well, thank you so much again, Father Lou. And again, the book is Catholic Teaching on Homosexuality, and it was published by Ave Maria Press, and you can get it wherever books are sold. For more interviews, articles, book reviews, and more, check out my own website, brandonvaught.com. And thank you for watching this interview.